is episode 387 of the Anarchist News Podcast, digest and or conversations on anarchist activity ideas and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of October 19th through October 25th, 2024. What's new this week? Fell in love with fire from CrimeThink. This is an engaging, funny, enthusiastic, brief overview of one person's experience with the time of Chile's 2019 revolt. If all CrimeThink writing were like this, they would be both achieving their own goals of hyping a particular view of the world and anarchy, and not alienating the fuck out of anyone who's been around the block a few times. So, fingers crossed for more of this. Fell in Love with Fire is the name of a documentary about the 2019 revolts, but there's not much about the documentary here, which is also perhaps a refreshing break from advertising. Or a more subtle advertising angle, whatever, works for me. That was Fell in Love with Fire, Sweet Name 2.
Hey, nice hot butt. Hot butt rub? So you just rub real fast and gets hot butt. Ostrom's 8 Rules of the Commons for Anarchists. From usufruct.collective.wordpress.com. Apparently written by the collective. Usufruct is, quote, a libertarian communist writing collective, unquote, complete with red and black circle star logo. So, not sure where the anarchists in the title are coming from. The Ostrom in the title is Eleanor Ostrom, Nobel Memorial Prize. I knew 4 words ago it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. The Ostrom in the title is Eleanor Ostrom, Nobel Memorial Prize winner for work on quote-unquote economic governance, especially the commons. This article informs those of us who are not following the studies that the idea that the commons were not suitable is, of course,
okay,
wrong.
Read the words on the page. Making up your own words is lovely, but not what we're doing now.
But aren't we just like, I make up part of the story, and then you make up part of the story?
That's next week.
This article informs those of us who are not following the studies that the idea that the commons were not sustainable is, of course, wrong. Quote, arguments claiming that commons inevitably lead to tragedies of overuse and collective ruin deny the history of the commons while also assuming that commons are rooted in crude competitive acquisition without the very collective rules, agreements, and practices that enable them to be functional. Unquote. The 8 rules are more interesting than I thought they would be, as on my read, some of these rules, or whatever, are a welcome response to the delusional slash misleading visions of so-called community as used by many anarchists. On the other hand, there is also fodder here for the paraconists, and you interrupt me with a thumbs up. Did you think the paraconist was a difficult word for you?
I did. I did not think you were going to... Yeah, see?
On the other hand, there is also fodder here for the paraconists and others who will want to rely on bureaucracy. Per usual, anarchy is in the eye of the reader. That was Ostrom's 8 rules, and I didn't think I'd be suggesting people read this. Usufruct are probably not our friends, though.
British Anarchism in Decline / Renewal, Delete as Appropriate, from Organized Magazine by Spendthrift, who is apparently one of the hosts of the egregiously leftist anarchist podcast, Little Bigger Anarchism. This piece raises good questions in a heartfelt way, and so I will avoid the snark. There are good questions at least alluded to, like what are anarchists fighting for, what does anarchist success look like, how do our opinions on that change with experience and or age, the relationship of writing and protest, or for that matter, of protest and struggle, and so on. One does need to read a little between the lines for some of this, but we support people challenging themselves around these topics. Sigh.
Can you just take my sigh at you saying sigh and plug it over your sigh?
That's too complicated with the layering of the sound. I don't know how to do that.
A month after Alonso Verdejo's murder in Chile. From anarcho-veganismo.info on Instagram. And in Spanish, on lazarzamora.cl. A fascist stabs 3 people during a protest, including Verdejo, who died later in hospital. This article points out that stabbings are continuing, including three women during a march for free abortion. Quote, the ultra-right and the Chilean Nazism have henchmen. The landowner sends the foreman, and the latter sends the tenant to do the dirty work. The latter goes to jail after good agreement with the landowner. But the poor fascists are also a reality, who, lost in their nationalist and religious discourses, can take up a weapon to attack, driven by the declarations they see daily on TV and in all the communication channels of power. Unquote.
A cautionary tale from my Russian anarchist great-grandfather, from Freedom News UK by George Askarov. Another in the lessons that some anarchists take to heart about aligning ourselves with those who are not our friends, however much they smile at us. The author tells one of the many stories of how anarchists have been betrayed, this time by the Bolsheviks. Wasn't it just last week that some piece on A-News was complaining about how anarchists are too purist? I mean, yeah, sure, false binary, we can be too purist, Nietzsche complained about it too, but the arguments about who we're talking to and what the value of our principles is and how to maintain some standards is a lot more of a complicated one than the complainers usually acknowledge. Anyway, yeah, a cautionary tale. Read and learn.
The First Decade of Agency, an Anarchist PR Project, from anarchistagency.com. Even before one of their founders was killed, Agency wasn't making headlines in any of the places I look. Not sure what that says, but nothing good, I'd imagine. On the other hand, the purpose of Agency, crappy name, however clever it's trying to be, was never to speak to me or any other long-standing anarchist. So maybe I should ask some of my non-anarchist friends if Agency has made a noticeable splash for them. Oops, not gonna do that. Don't care.
Towards another uprising from Anon. Anon remembers and recounts past and current horrors post-Arab Spring and cites an article in issue 6 of Tinderbox that seems to be the impetus for this anarchist news submission. Quote, this Tinderbox article seems to confound resistance with the resistance. That is to say, they collapse any form of resistance from people in Palestine and more broadly in the region into a particular representation, adopting an umbrella term used by states, militaries, parastate/paramilitary organizations to describe their own activities. The authors of the article warn anarchists against being too sensitive to hierarchy, as if that is the only aspect of the resistance anarchists might find difficult to accept. Unquote. Is it just me, or is there a stronger thread than usual these days about whether anarchists should get along or should, you know, be anarchists? Obviously, that's always a thing, but both sides of that question seem to be getting more airplay than usual these days. Maybe it's just me. Anyway, that was Towards Another Uprising.
Chicago, Fall Anarchist Skillshare, November 1 through 3. Bang! From anarchistskillshare.noblogs.org. The latest installment in the ongoing Anon forest fire over masking or not masking. The only reason I ever wish A-News had something like a super thread option, so that everyone who wants to talk about this endlessly with other strangers online, who are notoriously both eminently convincible and always entirely in good faith.
It's a run-on sentence. What do you want? What do you want from me?
Who are notoriously both eminently convincible and always entirely in good faith, could have a single place to go to so that the rest... Fuck. I hate you.
I'm a bad writer. What do you want?
Could have a single place to go to so that the rest of us don't have to swim through the unending back and forths. I mean, I guess I don't have to swim, but I do keep an eye out for something new and or interesting. Hope and springs and all that shit. Anyway, this thing in Chicago is about caring for each other and then being dangerous. Cool.
Audio and video, Revolutionary Primitivism with Kazimir Karza from Uncivilized Podcast on YouTube. 1 hour and 36 minutes. A good introduction to Karza. The conversation is awkward until the two speakers get used to each other's rhythms, but that's fair. There's a comparison between Romani in Europe and racism in the US, historical thumbnails of the Balkans, which is where Karza is from, plenty of comparisons between racism and oppression in various places, Artemis does her thing about introducing more controversial or challenging questions as she goes on, like when she pokes at the idea of revolution that she doesn't question in the title. This is a fine conversation between two people who kind of agree with each other a lot. Some shit talking of art and creativity, which is funny. I mean, people who call themselves anarchists thinking that they're realistic? Cute.
Was posted on October 21st, 2024. And this is Chichi.
And I am Vic. Okay. One of the many stereotypes about anarchists is that they're a bunch of dirty, stinky neo-hippies who promote unpopular and unappealing things like poorly crafted zines, weird diets like raw food, and amateurish folk music. For as superficial as such stereotypes can be, they circulate because they simplify something about anarchists that is deeply at odds with dominant cultural values. The hang-ups that the stereotype are based on come from consumer society's admiration of bourgeois norms and tastes. We're made to feel that everyone should be seeking refinement in all things, their homes, their clothes, their food, their modes of transportation. The more that everyone chases after such refinements, the more elevated are those with the wealth to acquire them. So when anarchists do things that challenge this, the defenders of all things good and normal are quick to point it out and reinforce the equation. For these normies, this is all just doing one's part to protect the bounds of the civilized world from corruption and decadence. While anarchists have often rejected the above norms and defended the raw, crude, base, mean, and otherwise unrefined, the stereotype is nevertheless a generalization. There are many anarchists who do not respond to such norms around refinement by affirming the goodness of their opposite. Some anarchists have even considered these bourgeois tastes to be a fake form of refinement. Instead of looking for refinement in products from luxury brands, these anarchists tell us that true refinement comes from developing one's own abilities, and they promote forms of education that would be conducive to such goals. For this topic of the week, let's consider the different ways that anarchists interpret refinement and respond to it. What do you think about the stereotypes? What do you think about social norms? What do you think about the concept of refinement itself? Okay. Who wants to start?
Yes. No, go on.
Well, should we start by trying to answer these questions, or do you have something to say that isn't responding?
No, one thing that is just because the first time I read it in a sloppy way, really fast and not paying too much attention. And I didn't realize that they are questioning the different understandings of refinement. Because I think I would identify more like as the second one. I don't think that refinement is just like the buying luxury items. They might be refined, but this is not refinement. That's where I would start. But I don't know. You can feel free to start from another place.
I'm looking up what the word refinement actually means because I realize it would be it would be interesting just to have the definition. The result of refining, an improvement or elaboration. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Let's see, there was a part that stood out to me. I guess I agree that there's a tendency in normative society that pushes us to, like, think of life in progressive terms, or like we constantly have to be getting better at stuff. And I think that's part of the engine that drives civilization and, like, the death of things in the world. Like, it's worth being critical of that impulse, I think, for an anarchist, because, like, you can just find a way of living and do that, and it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to get better at it. Like, you probably will anyway, but, like, maybe setting that as a goal, or, like, thinking in terms of, or thinking of your life in progressive terms or in terms of refinement, it means you're accepting that the present moment or your present self, like, aren't really sufficient or don't have value, or that whatever you're doing, like, doesn't have value in its present form, and that it needs to be refined. I think there's so much around us that's, like, telling us, right? Like, with especially with, like, gadgets and shit, like, constantly new phones coming out and all these different things and new cars, and so there's all these things around us that are constantly telling us that, like, we have to get the better thing. It's part of the, to me, like, that does affect me, and I do notice that kind of sinking in once in a while, but to me it's, like, usually an indicator that actually there's, like, something missing from my life that either has to do with, like, being at peace with myself, or with in the relationships that I'm in my life, whether that be people or, like, something else. But it's, like, yeah, it's, like, capitalism and civilization, like, feeding on our, I don't know, insecurities or, like, sense of insufficiency. But I think it's okay to just kind of, I think it's good to push back against it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested to hear what you have to say also.
I get anxious because I'm afraid I'm going to forget. I really like when the thing you brought about the goal. I had not thought about it. I had not thought about it this way, but I think that there is a difference, like, when you elaborate things, or the word improvement is complicated, so I prefer not to use it from an anarchist perspective, but there is something that is moved because of curiosity, because, like, you want to know more, or, like, you are interested in the world, you are interested in the different things, in how different things works, how and I think this is a kind of curiosity that is common to anarchists, and it's different than when you set your goal, like, okay, I want to be successful in life, and then for that I need to reach this and this, mm-hmm. and being successful means, like, acquiring this, and it can be objects, but it can also be, like, just diplomas or other things, like, or learning how to identify a wine and not, but what moves the person is, like, it's a goal towards something that we learn that is the good thing, that is the wealthy people, the way that the wealthy people, whatever, lives. And yeah, I'm not interested in this kind of refinement, mm-hmm. but I think that of all the, like, politics or anti-politics versions of analysis and such, I think the anarchist one is actually the most refined one, but in the sense of being more elaborate. And yeah, I had not thought about it, but I think that I'm interested in this refinement as elaboration, and that has to do more with like your curiosity and your will to life. I don't know what exactly, but this thing, like, you are alive, you are present, and you are looking around and you are seeing things, and you are just like, you are like, there is the wonder of things too. You see and you want to understand, or you want to admire it, or you want to make it beautiful, and the beautiful doesn't need to be what is established by somebody else. Yeah, I think, I don't know, that I just wanted to highlight this thing that you said before about like the goal and improvement. And yeah, it seems a very capitalistic, stupid way of refinement.
Yeah, I mean, but even that type of refinement, I think, like, I'm speaking from my own experience, which is that I grew up around a lot of really wealthy people, and I'm not, like, that's not really, like, I was surrounded by wealth, basically, but I'm not from, like, a very wealthy family. But I got to, like, I got to see incredible wealth. Like, I slept over at these kids' houses and in mansions, and, like, you know, I witnessed the life of very wealthy people. And so I got to see early on that it's really empty. And it really shaped later my anarchism, but also just pretty early on, like, what I strove for. But that's, like, I have other friends that are from, that, you know, are from, like, a very poor area or from a poor family, and they have a different relationship to wealth and this type of, like, capitalist refinement, because they don't have the experience of, like, seeing it for what it is, maybe. Or, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to, like, put it down or something and say that I, like, have more clarity. It just is a different, like, lived experience, you know. And I don't necessarily want to, like, talk shit on people for wanting to see wealth for themselves, to, like, figure out that it's empty, or maybe it's not empty for them.
The problem is that capitalism makes most people's life miserable, and then it sells, like, some things that usually only the wealthy people have access because of the use of their time. Like, they don't have to work as much, they don't have to do a lot, so they do have time to go and enjoy something that can be incredible. I don't know, like, if you think the way that, like, some, like, art is considered something like for higher classes, and I mean, if they are the ones who can buy it, but you don't need to buy expensive work of art. But if you think, like, the artists, most, like, a lot of them were very poor, and so it doesn't come, this refinement that, like, some artists bring and it becomes a thing for the wealthy people, it doesn't come from the wealth. It comes from the way they looked at life. I'm thinking about the most obvious example, that is, I don't know how to say his name in English or in Dutch, Van Gogh, mm-hmm. how people say it, I don't know. I say it in a different way, but I don't want to say it here. Is it Van Gogh that people say it?
Van Gogh, I think, yeah, I think you said it right.
Yeah, okay.
Or that's how people say it here, I guess, not right. Yeah. You said it wrong in the right way.
What?
You said it wrong in the way that people say it wrong here.
Good. So he's like the most obvious and well-known example of somebody who was poor and had a very hard, like, difficult life, and then, like, his pieces are worth millions, and I think they are wonderful, and this wonderful thing he did didn't come from the wealth. So there is also this thing, like, that capitalism turned people's life in, like, make it miserable, and then it does select things that are, like, really wonderful, and it make accessible only to a certain kind of people, or at least sell it this way. It can even popularize it, like, yeah, you can go to the museum, or you can buy, like, a paper copy or a postcard or something, and you can have it in your fridge or whatever. In the case of Van Gogh, I think it's the funniest in a dark way, because, like, yeah, you can buy anything Van Gogh. You can buy a shirt, you can buy a hat, you can buy a notebook, you can buy... So you have Van Gogh for everyone nowadays. But, yeah, but this is just, like, the how things works. Like, you... And I know I'm doing turns now, but my brain, I'm thinking while I'm saying, and this happens a lot. Like, there is the things, these wonderful things, and even, like, the punk aesthetic, like, they are not created in a wealthy environment. They are created in an environment that is not necessarily, like, it's not necessarily poor, it's not necessarily rich, but it has nothing to do with that. What makes it, like, wonderful is not the money. And then it makes it accessible to the higher classes, and then after that it go back, like, to the lower classes, but in a less in a worse quality or something. So, and then people buy it as a refinement, like, okay, now I'm this this normie that is middle class, or and I want to look fancy, so I'm going to buy a poster of a Van Gogh and put on my living room, and yeah, and that's not refinement, not because of the art piece itself, but it's what it's selling there. It's not the refinement of the thing, it's just the money value of the thing. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think something that is worth refining, and all of these things like punk and Van Gogh, or I was also thinking of hip-hop too, because to me that's like a good example of people in pretty bad conditions a lot of the time, like, just telling the stories of their lives, and then that ended up, you know, becoming so commodified, and then like, I don't know, I don't know if it's still a thing, but when I was a teenager, like, all the suburban rich kids were listening to hip-hop, and it's kind of, I mean, it's, yeah, it's almost like vampiric or something, like, yeah, capitalism creates these terrible conditions, and obviously the wealthy play a major role in the creation of those conditions of misery, and then they kind of, like, get the product, which are those stories, and then that becomes part of their, like, sophistication or something, is to be able to decipher those things. But yeah, I mean, I think that's probably just been happening for a long time, but to me, the thing that's worth refining is our ability to communicate, and ultimately, like, paintings, our ability to tell our story, our, like, fashion choices, all these things, when it's not done for just to make money or whatever, and it's done, I guess, genuinely, however people want to understand that, like, then it is an attempt to communicate something. And I think punk was obviously that to me. It seems very obvious. And I guess I'll just speak to the things I actually know about, like, yeah, punk was a, for me and the people around me and what I know about it, is trying to like articulate rebellion and like a critique of the normal world or whatever, and using whatever resources you have to do that. And then like graffiti is also a way of telling your own story by literally writing it on walls and stuff, and paintings are also that. It's like it's trying to communicate your like whatever emotional vision, spirit, whatever, some sort of vision. And I think that type of refinement is worth pursuing. Like my ability to say what I think, or articulate an idea, or how I'm feeling, or how I feel about the people in my life, or like, or about anarchy or whatever, like I want to refine that because it allows me to have a closer connection to what's going on around me and the people around me and the, just, yeah, the world around me, and even just to myself, that I, if I can write out what's going on for me or write down my idea, like, and I can become, like, I need some work because I'm missing some words, but, like, if, yeah, if I become more articulate, I guess, or, like, my language becomes more refined, like, that does give me the tools to communicate better. And I think if I'm going to try to combat my own alienation, like, that is a part of doing that, is to be able to communicate better. And, yeah, I mean, that's how you get closer to people. And
yeah.
Not just people, right? But so, yeah, that type of refinement I'm very for, and is something I put a lot of effort into. But, like, yeah, this normative, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's like, shit, I mean, I was just trying to say I'm, like, open-minded to people about this stuff based on their, like, past experiences. But if I'm honest, like, I don't actually have that much patience for it. I mean, people that are, like, especially anarchists that are into, like, brand names and designer whatever shit, like, I'm just, I find it incredibly corny. And I find it, like, to be kind of surrender to like this type of propaganda that we can demonstrate value or personal value or whatever through what name is on our shirt, you know, like,
yeah,
or on our shoes or whatever. I mean, that just seems ridiculous. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't have that much patience for it, I guess. And I'm,
the
and
brand thing,
I would love to see someone. It would be cool to, like, talk to somebody, I guess, in a conversation like this where they could actually, like, say why that's a thing they want to pursue, because I'm, I don't, yeah, I don't know. I just don't see it.
Yeah, the brand thing is harder for me to understand. I think a designer I could understand just in the sense, like, the person liked the way that person or that group or that mm-hmm. thing does, you know, they like that kind of aesthetic. But if I want to play a little bit devil advocate here, because I heard some people saying like that, it has a lot of times it has something to do with like their youth experience, mm-hmm. like it's almost like a nostalgia thing and how it made them feel. I don't know if I think it's, I understood it. I don't know if, again, like, we don't have a person here that could advocate for that, but I think I understand it a little, like, when you eat very, like, very trashy food, like, that you used to eat as a kid, and they are bad, like, they're not good at all, but for some reason, they remind you of something that makes you feel good because of your something good about your childhood.
Sure.
And then you like it. And then you see it and you get all excited about it. So, yeah. But again, like, but that's not, that's a human thing. but it's not an anarchist perspective on things, for, I guess, I don't know. Now I'm confused.
I mean, I know what you're talking about, and I get that about some stuff for sure. And yeah, I'm like especially thinking certain types of junk food and stuff, but like that just makes me sad that I have an emotional attachment to like fucking McDonald's cheeseburger or whatever. Like,
yeah,
that's a bummer. Like, I wish I didn't have that. I wish I had that towards like some creek somewhere or something, you know, or like a song, but not a fucking, not some like fucking corporate poison nugget thing. Like, but it's still, it's not like, I don't know. I also don't, I don't want to feel guilty about having those types of attachment, and I don't want to say that I don't, because I do, but it also just is sad. Like, it is a thing that makes me upset at the world, because this is, like, part of my childhood is having been conditioned by a bunch of advertising.
Yeah.
And that but sucks.
It is funny because we are using like the opposite examples of refinement, like we're using the trashy examples, but in the end it's the same thing. Like the way that people buy those refined things is the same way you would buy like a McDonald's. Not the same way in terms, I mean, the way they are sold, not the way that the person would buy, because yeah, we are talking about a personal memory and relationship and the thing with what is sold as something refined has to do with like more the way that people sell it. So yeah, you sell like a concert as kind of McDonald's for a more specific class or whatever. Yeah.
What are some things? Oh no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so if you want to stretch more on this, because I was just going to move to the thing that I also, it annoys me when it's the opposite, when people like start just celebrating things that are bad. Just what I'm trying to say here is that it is very common for like communist and lefty socialists to accuse anarchists of being bourgeois, because I think anarchists are more interested in different things that are not as popular, not as common, and then anarchists are accused by because they are interested in masses. They are not interested like in each group of people like collectively, but like knowing that we are different. It's just about the masses. I mean, it changed a little because nowadays like you can't absolutely ignore the individual because our times don't allow that. But sorry, I'm going sideways here. But my point is that it annoys me when some anarchists start to reproduce the same discourse. Like just like they are, if you are trying to do like, I don't know, a play or a book or even a zine that you are like worried about, like, oh, I want it to look nice. Like it is very simple. Like it doesn't have a lot of fancy stuff, but it's, you know, you want it to look beautiful or something, even like with the, even if it's made by hand and draw, and then you are accused of being bourgeois because you want something to look nice. That also kind of annoys me. I don't know if you are this kind of person, but this other way of dealing with it also kind of annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I honestly just don't really care that much about what leftists have to say about what I'm doing. If I'm, I just consider them politicians, and so whatever critique they have of me is like probably meant to, like win a debate over my what they perceive my like political ideology to be. And so I don't start like, if I know somebody's a communist or whatever, I mean, just like if I knew they were like a Democrat and like some kind of, you know, like committed politician of some sort, and they're telling me a thing about some kind of anarchist project I'm doing, I'm just like, well, it's not for you, and I don't really, like, ultimately, I don't really care.
What annoys me is not when communists do this, because they are doing it on purpose. Like, they want, like, the anarchists to look bad on the eye of, like, the workers, as if anarchists were not workers themselves, too. But anyway, the what annoys me is when anarchists are starting to repeat the same thing. And I'm, and it's like, it's just a strategy from the authoritarian left, and you see anarchists repeating a lot of things of the authoritarian left a lot of times.
Totally.
It is very annoying.
Well,
and this thing of like calling things that are trying to be a little bit more elaborate, call it bourgeois, it's something that bothers me when it comes from anarchists or people who call themselves anarchists.
Yeah, I mean, it also assumes, it's so many assumptions. It's like, you should be, whatever you're doing should be accessible to the least common denominator, or like the worker or whatever. And the assumption then is that like, you are not that, like you're saying. And then also the other assumption is that the worker is a fucking idiot. And so anything refined or anything that's like kind of a complex idea, like they're just too stupid, because they're ultimately just sheep that's supposed to be led by the party. And so if you're, if you're like thinking about things hard enough that it's not like some whatever, some like slogan basically that's just easy to follow, then you're being bourgeois or you're being whatever. It's just, it's like, I mean, it just exposes, I think whoever makes this critique is just kind of like exposing themselves as, I mean, it's like an authoritarian position ultimately. And also it shows that you see yourself above whoever you're trying to talk to, that you have to dumb your own shit down, you know?
Of course, like, we don't know everything, and sometimes like there's a pamphlet that I see and I'm, whoa, I don't know half of these words, but I mean, I can use a dictionary, you know, like for the things that I don't know, and then I'll learn, and it's fine. Like,
sure.
You don't need to use all words like difficult or whatever, but it's okay to bring one new word for me. Like, I would appreciate, oh, thank you for this word that I didn't know. Now I learned.
There is a difference between that and trying to sound smart by like on purpose obscuring your thing, which is like, I mean, I wouldn't call it bourgeois, but it's just like fucking annoying. And if you're like, I like when people write how they talk, and I like when I read my friends' writing and I'm like, oh, I can like hear this in your voice because this is actually how you speak. Like, that's very nice, and I think is a skill that takes time to acquire, and is just, I mean, I don't know, it's just, again, like, it's clear communication, which is a skill that takes a while to figure out how to do.
It's not the same as watering things down. It's just making a, as you're saying, like, it's about communication. It's just like not the regular way, but it doesn't mean that it's less. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it's different than, watering it down.
And also, not everything, I don't know, there's this thing, I think, with leftist thought and with just politicians in general, that, like, the more accessible something is to the greatest number of people, the more value it has or something. But again, it's like, a lot of the time that means the thing needs watering down or something. But for me, like, I read stuff sometimes that some of my friends are really into, and I'm like, I fucking don't get it. Like, I just don't understand what the fuck this is saying. And I see my friends are all excited about it, but that's because they've been reading, like, some obscure philosophy for the past 10 years, and I just haven't. Or maybe I was reading some other kind, you know? And so I can talk to them, and they can explain it to me in a way that I can understand, or, you know, we can have a conversation about it. But to have an expectation that I'm going to read every single thing and understand it completely is also unrealistic. Like, I'm okay with there being kind of niche stuff that takes more effort for me to understand, because I don't know some of the words, I don't know the references they're making. Like, that's okay too. Not everything has to be completely accessible to everyone. And that's something I liked about punk early on too, is that, like, not just punk, I mean, graffiti also is like this, or, you know, like other countercultural things I've been involved in, they require you to put in effort to understand what the fuck is going on. You don't just get into it and instantly you're like, okay, I get all of it, you know? Like,
yeah.
You have to find the zines. You have to fucking figure out, where do I even get these zines? Like, you have to find some person to talk to, or you have to, like, find all these obscure little things, and it takes time and effort. But then it also, if you're willing to go through that effort, it means you're willing, that you want to understand. Like, that means you actually, you're truly curious about it. I don't know if we're straying too far from the refinement thing.
No, I think
we're still on.
Still on the topic. They asked us to talk about different interpretations of refinement, and I think we did that. Mm. And talk about the stereotypes. Checked.
I don't mind the dirty. I think the dirty, like, all the shit, the dirty, stinky neo-hippies, all this stuff, like, I think that shit is cool. Like, I'm not really, I mean, it depends what day you catch me on, I guess, but I probably wouldn't read, like, one of these people that they're talking about necessarily, but, like, I think it's sick that there is a subset of anarchists that is, like, basically feral, you know? And I'm personally not willing to, like, abandon those people because it's, like, not trendy at the moment or something. I think it's sick. Like, I think they collectively made a counterculture that in a lot of ways exists outside of normal society, and, like, people can kind of desert their lives into hopping trains and stealing stuff and, like, whatever, and that's fucking awesome. And I wish there was way more of that, like, different kinds of that. I don't know. I'm into it.
I think it's important, and I kind of like this thing of trying to live a life. I don't necessarily love the stinky thing. But I do like this thing of trying to live, like, a life that you don't need anything that is, or you need the least things that the society wants you to acquire in a certain way. Like, you don't need the fucking stupid job. You don't need, like, you can go your way around, like, just learning to navigate the world how it is, and through cities, or, like, at the same time, like, you learn how to forge in the city dumpster, but also how to forge on, like, the forest, and like, they are complementary, and I like that.
Yeah, and if people, I mean, I don't know. I don't think, I don't know. It makes me think of Bolo Bolo. I think a lot of the time when I'm, like, trying to have, like, a vision or something of different kinds of people in, like, finding their own ways to be liberated together, is, like, I just think something like kind of folk punky oogly people are just a bolo within anarchy, and they are finding their own way. Like, and it truly, like, I do spend time around people that are into that kind of lifestyle, and like, it is a thing that requires effort and refinement to get good at. Like, I don't know how to live like that, fucking travel for free for years on end and all this shit. Like, it takes time. It takes time to build those connections, like, figure out how to scam everything and all that shit. Like, obviously, like, yeah, it's true. Like, some people have, like, a secret fucking trust fund or whatever. That does also exist. But, like, for a lot of the people that do it, I think...
I think the majority of these people don't. Like...
Yeah.
Actually, now I'm kind of curious. I want to meet one that has, because it is funny to think that a person is like living a life where they are just like hitchhiking around and dumpster diving and all that, but in reality they have like a trust fund or something, and I don't know.
Well, there's a book. I don't know if you can actually get it anywhere, but I found it in some random anarchist bookstore that is just called Manifesto, and it's like this really gnarly journal basically of this person that's like a trust fund rich kid, but then he just gets so depressed that he like becomes an alcoholic and just travels by himself and is just in this deep depression. It's like, it actually doesn't seem funny when you read it in his own words, where you're like, damn, like, you have a really, I don't know, you're just really depressed and have a really bad relationship with, like, your place in this world. And so you're, like, trying to escape and not face the fact that you're actually wealthy also. And I don't know, I think it probably depends person to person, and I'm not, like... I don't know. I guess I just think that about everything. It's probably just depends on the situation and like what the person is actually going through. But I'm also not willing to be like, if you're a crust punk with a trust fund, you are just bad. Like, I think there's like, I don't know. Yeah, I think there's all kinds of different situations.
Yeah, if you have a trust fund, at least, and you want to leave like the... It would be nice if you could fund like projects and stuff, like as it happened, like as like some anarchists that start making money and then start supporting other anarchist projects. I think that's fair. Like but anyway, I don't know this thing that you're talking about, and I might look into it, and instead of just trying to guess and making comments that are probably inaccurate. Yeah, I think.
Is there more questions we have to check off before?
No, I don't think so. Let me take a look here. Oops. What do you think about the concern? I'm good. I think I just want, just because I always like to bring historical examples if we have some, but just like to remember that like the anarchists in all over the world, like in different countries, the anarchist workers, they were like the ones that had the highest literacy range, because they would teach each other to read and teach each other like the most different things, and it was not about just turning, like they would teach each other about art and music and a lot of things that are considered refined, because they wanted the best for each other. They didn't want the leftover or the shitty thing, and I think that's something that I appreciate. Like, you don't, of course, like, you can criticize, like, oh, so what, it's considered refinement through the eyes or through the perspective of the capitalist. But we discussed that in the beginning, like, that's not about it. It's a different way of a different relationship with these things. Anyway, I just wanted to remember the anarchist workers of the 19th and early 20th century.
Totally, and if we are going to use the word refinement, like, that is an example of refining your kind of relationships to each other, and your environment, your social environment as a people that are, like, finding a way to live together, is teaching each other skills, sharing knowledge, like, sharing lessons.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Don't sell out. Teach each other stuff. Get good at stuff if you want, or don't. Is that the takeaway?
Yes. That's perfect.
Okay. You have anything else?
Nope.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and have a good week.
Yeah, have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
This week's podcast was sound edited by Rosinante. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and...
Hot Butt.
Oh my god.
One word.
We hope this podcast...
Hot Butt. It's like Hop Frog. Hot Butt.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the other hot butts.